Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 312, part 2, the conclusion to Hurry. Today is Sunday, October 6th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
And so then people hurry through life. I had a friend years ago. He says, well, just think, 35, 40 years from now, we'll be retired. I said, is that what you're thinking about? Is your retirement? And I seen him not too long ago. He's got arthritis in both knees. I'm not saying that was the cause of it, but I mean, you know, don't depend on tomorrow. Don't get in a hurry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Right? Don't worry. You knew that was coming, don't you? Don't worry about tomorrow. I won't disappoint you. Tomorrow, it'll only bring you sorrow. Tomorrow, wait and see. Are you in a hurry for tomorrow? You can't even take care of today. And so people, I said, hurry through life and never take time to build on a right, not only a right, but a sound, not only a sound, but a real foundation. They build on, the Bible says, on sand. Without a regard to the foundation, and when the rains come and the waves of life hit their lives, over they go. You listening on the radio and I got to ask you this question. How many of us in the race for wealth have sacrificed time? Time, not only time, energy, health, home, happiness, and honor. And honor everything that money cannot buy, the very things that money can never bring back. Like the gold rush. And so the love of money has made many sacrifices. Time with the family, time with friends, time with God. Also, the hurry for money has made many sacrifices. Let's use one here, energy. Use up all your energy, your time energy, in making money. So none is left for loved ones. I'd go out, but I'm just too tired. I am so tired. You don't know how tired I am. Yes, I know how tired you are. You've told me 15 times how tired you are. Now, I don't want to hear it again. Lay down and die. Bone weary, you know what I mean? I am tired, tired, sick and tired, tired and sick and sick and tired. Yeah, we use up all our time on making the dollar. And you can't buy that time back. Now, that's why a lot of times in young marriages with three or four kids, they split. They don't have time. I ain't got time to raise a family. That's not the only cause. I'm just saying sometimes. I got a lot of living to do. How many teenagers, they get married, you know, and they go from the Bobby Sox. Listen to this, girls. They go from the Bobby Sox. Listen on the radio now. The Bobby Sox, and they go right into marriage. And there they are. I ain't got time for this. That bawling kid, you make... Stop bawling! Maybe you didn't have time for your kids, so your kid had a kid. And that isn't always true either. Sometimes that just happens. You can't legalize anything or say this is the way it always is or get people on a guilt trip. I'm saying that sometimes you need to take time in things and stick it out. Stick it out! Yeah, the hurry for money has made many, many sacrifices in accordance with your energy. Your energy level is low. I wonder why some people do have families. They have no time for their kids. They spend most of their time and energy getting those kids off their hands. Will you go out and play? Can't you see mommy's on the telephone? Mommy's always on the telephone. They had to go get her ear cut away from the phone. It was grafted right to her head. They don't have time for the kids. They have time for the neighbor. They could sing to the neighbor, but I only have time for you. Huh? And so they don't plan their day. And so the husband comes home and he was trying to make time so he'd have time to sit there and have time for dinner, and he ain't ready. I didn't have time. Let's have pizza. Let's have some Chinese tonight. So you put on your Chinese hat. What are you going to have tonight? Mexican food. Dun, 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 dun. Huh? Make it festive. Oh, wow. Si, senor, huh? And so the wife never has time to cook a meal. I ain't got time to cook a meal. What do you want, Chinese? Mexican? Italiano? And you got to drive up, stand in a line. And families don't have time. There's no time to cook anymore. Most people don't know how to cook at all. Everything is in a can. They live like dogs. I'm not kidding you. I just cook for myself. I'm all alone. But when I cook for myself, I really cook a wing dinger. I take time taking care of this dog. I have a Greek salad. Have a nice piece of meat with it. Potato. French bread. Getting hungry? You ain't getting out of here till we're done. Nice cup of coffee. Maybe a glass of Diet Pop. And I set the table real nice. and I take time. I ain't got time. And we're lazy sometimes. Jeannie Moore Stew, isn't that yucko? Oh, I love Jeannie Moore Stew. You haven't tasted my stew yet. That's why you love Jeannie Moore. People don't know what good cooking is, and when they go to the Chinese night or the Mexican night or the Italian night or the Greek night, they wouldn't know what they're eating anyway. Are you hearing this? Because we don't have time. And so everything is fast foods. Get the food fast, get home and eat it fast. And everything comes out of little paper cartons and a little sack of French fries and little cartons of... And then we don't have to do dishes. So you don't have time to do dishes. You know how relaxing it is doing dishes? You know how relaxing it is to clean off your stove and to be humming and singing and wipe off the floor and wipe off the counter? And you're missing all this, lazy boogers. Lazy boogers on TV, on the radio and the tape, you're missing it. You know how nice and peaceful it is when you're sweeping the floor and you're cleaning up and you're full with a very good meal that you cooked and took time to cook? What's the hurry? You can't buy that time back again. Yeah, so I wonder why sometimes people do have families. And then they wonder, I wonder why there's so many problems in this world. And the family needs to be there, and it needs to be all at the table, and it's not to be surrounded by paper cartons. Pass the carton of rice. Pass me that cart. It's not a place to pass the plate anymore. And then it's paper plates when you do. Huh? Pass me the Colonel Sanders mashed potatoes and a little cute, little watered-down version of mashed potatoes. Isn't this good? I just love Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders, they have TV things. We love Colonel Sanders, yes, we do. And you try to talk people into loving Colonel Sanders and McDonald's and all them people. Huh? How about loving your mom when she cooks something real good? Now, of course, my mom never cooked. She couldn't cook. My dad was a cook. He cooked everything. But she cleaned up. She cleaned all the plates up. Everybody's plate, left any food, she cleaned it up. No, that she loved to clean the dishes, and she loved to sweep the floor, and she loved to clean the kitchen. And I used to love to watch her. So she got wise to me. That's why I like to do it. I was trained that way. I was trained to cook a meal, and after you're done with a meal, to clean up your mess, and there's a place for everything, and everything in its place, and I don't care if it takes you to midnight, I want to put away. Okay. Does she sound like she's kind of hard? She was. In this day and age, my mother would never make it. Huh? Never. She had too much together, and my dad had too much together. They wouldn't make it. I mean, raising up a family that was brought in. Now, bring up this family. But this sure could show them a whole lot about being a family. Yeah, they could sure show them a lot about being a family and sticking together. We don't have that either, do we? Why? We're in too much of a hurry to make it for ourselves. Isn't that sad? And you never know who your children are going to marry into. They might marry into someone that's in a great big damnable hurry. And so you go through that whole thing. Now, I'm not saying this is the case in everybody. But you might do the best job that's ever possible, and they meet up with some wimp or wimpette. Oh, God. That's the breaks to the game. Go on with your life and cook your chicken, sweep your floor, and shut up. It's the days and the times that we're living in right now. Isn't that right, Wayne? Yes, it is. But we can do something about it. We can be teachers. We can be that good example and that Christian example of keep right on a keeping on. And always be there. When people expect you to be there, be there. Are you still here? Yes. Much to your dismay, in some cases, I am still here, and we're still here. And there's so many people that are glad that we still are here. Because this ministry has been through the mill. What does that mean? It means through the grinding, made into flour. But that flour is made into bread. And the bread is what feeds people. So, hey, all things work together for good. And so a lot of times people have no time for their kids. They spend most of their time and energy getting them off their hands, I said. And they wonder why they have problems. The problem is they have sacrificed loving in their hurry. Now you bring your kids up right, and they might depart from it. But when they get a little down the line, the Bible says, when they grow old, they return to it. May not always agree with you. I never agreed always with my folks. I don't know how many times I quit my dad and threw the apron down the middle of the runway behind the counter there. But somehow when I went into basic training, come back 3 months later, he had grown in wisdom. He must have went to college or something. And he could barely speak English. Well, he spoke it, but very brokenly. And so just to be alone and in our hurry to escape, in their hurry to avoid responsibilities, their hurry to be rid of mistakes. Oh, girls, if you're listening on the radio, and don't listen, please, don't judge yourself on this. But if it hasn't already happened, don't be in a hurry to abort that baby. You got a lot of time left to think about that. And if you already have, go to Jesus. He'll readily forgive you. That's just the way it is, folks. Totally, totally, totally will forgive you. What if it hasn't happened yet? And like I say, there's no man that should place a judgment on anybody. But now just looking at it aforehand, there's so much time to think about it. Isn't there? And people always want your teenagers to hurry up and go to some place, and parents don't even know where they're going, and all of a sudden then it happens. So parents are treated, just hurry up and get out of the parents' way. And don't let them know what's going on in school. And don't let them know what's going on over here. And don't, because they're such dummies. Hurry up to avoid responsibility. Hurry up and get to bed. Get out of my face. God, I hate you. Wouldn't that bring on a nightmare for the kid? Little kid, little sweet little kid is there, and they're all laying in bed, and then all of a sudden they have this nightmare. And this great big mother coming out with snakes for hair. Going out there, I hate you! With teeth, fangs hanging down. And then they have to sleep with that all night. They have to wait for the next morning for the arguing to quit. Huh? Then they have to go to school and they have to live through that damnable nightmare. And they wonder why they can't get their studies done and they can't add two and two and so on like that. They aren't thinking about that. First things first. Say amen, somebody. Oh, how many wayward parents haunt the bars. Praise God, I got saved out of a bar. Just in time. Or maybe you're running off to Tupperware parties. Not Tupperware, Copperware. Not Copperware, some other kind of wear that you wear. Or maybe you're busy running off to the bowling alleys. And some even run and hurry to every revival that's ever come to town. Guess what? There's a revival over in so-and-so city. Well, that's only 300 miles from here. Think we can make it? Well, let's throw some, get the TV dinners out. They're good, you know, they're nutritious. And give them to the family and we'll just drive down there. There's a revival down there. You guys, you got a wife that goes to every revival that ever was? And she comes home, she's dead as can be. She needs reviving there. Oh, said it, my God, and I'm glad. There's a lot of them that live like that. They're always running to revival city. Why? To be seen a man? Or maybe some of you guys. We had guys that come down here and there's like 50 of them. They're all going to a big revival. And they're all going to leave their families and go to revival. Where was it? On the other side of the world. When was it? At Christmas time. Then you can use, and the Christians use the excuse, well, we don't believe in Christmas trees and stuff. Hey, Christmas tree doesn't threaten me a bit. I just bless it and hang the globes on it. Did you know that it comes from an old German or whatever, and they go way, way back where it was a medieval thing? I bless it and I hang my things on it. Bless this tree in the name of Jesus. Huh? Now Halloween is coming up. El Spooko. And so half of the people say, no, we can't. And they sneak their kids out. Okay, don't tell anybody you put this mask on. And don't tell anybody that you carried that sword or that little mask and that sword. Bless them, kids, in the name of Jesus, and just send them out there. I said it, and I'm glad they're going to go out there anyway. Aren't they? Don't they want to be out there? Well, if you have to, give them some tracks. I give a track. Here's a track. Give me your candy first. Come on. You don't bring up kids. They're not dummies, you know. But we place so much importance on that, on so many rules and regulations and all that. And what's that make the kid want to do? Makes them to want to go out there and do it. Hello? It's like you're robbing a bank, see? Hello? Yeah. Okay, listen. Is it on tonight? Yeah, it's on. Okay. I'll crawl out the window. I'll meet you out in back of the house. Okay, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If my mother knew, she's totally going nuts. Oh, yeah, yeah. She went to revival last week. We had a guy there talking about all this Christmas and, you know, Easter and all that. Oh, yeah. Now, your kid knows that the Easter bunny, tell him that it doesn't lay eggs, okay? Chickens lay eggs. If there's an egg hunt, don't get all out of whack because there's an egg hunt. No, you can't go. We're Christians. We don't believe in hunting for eggs. You hunt for them in the store, don't you? Now, this is a bunch of nonsense as far as I'm concerned. Bless all that and say in the name of Jesus. Don't be in such a hurry to set judgments on everybody and write little pamphlets and little books. Oh, we place so much importance, but where really is the love in that family anyway? It's just a facade, and people carry on and call each other names and everything else, but no Christmas tree. No way, not in my house. There's no love in your house either. So So now there is no Christmas tree and no love. No excuse for getting together at all, is there really? Maybe the proverbial bird? Everybody has to choke down. Dry meat. Huh? I'll tell you, there's so much offness in everything, I don't believe it. And so much time and energy spent on everything is wrong. What really is right? Some of the Christians are meaner than hell itself. I'll tell you like it is. And yet, we get all puffed up when somebody says, Christmas tree. Christmas tree! Here, read this pamphlet. You'll change your mind. And they forget about Thanksgiving. They forget that while these people were sitting there with their little shawls on and everything, and they were busy looking at the Indians and everything, they're wondering, how are we going to take all this away from them after they got warm? Give them some beads. Take the... I got Manhattan, the Staten Islands, yours and mine, huh? Come on, folks, tell it like it is. Let me close this. It's sad. That time can never be bought back again. It's already spent. Time spent. Spent on nonsense. Spent on self. And so hurry is the phantom of all paradoxes. Businessmen and their desire to provide for the future and the happiness of their family often sacrifice the present, happiness of their family and their wife because they don't have time. They're at the altar of hurry. They forget that their place in the home should be something greater than merely the man that pays the bills. Hey, I pay the bills here. Who pays the bills? Big deal. You're going to have a bigger bill. Well, you're busy, so busy, and don't have time for anything else, there's going to be bigger bills. There's going to be outpatient bills. There's going to be police bills. There's going to be all kinds of bills. And so the self-made man, the phantom of the household, in his hurry to make it, loses it all. And you know, it's strange, but this hurry to make it man expects considerations. Looks like this guy that's on TV. I seen him one time. He says, I don't have no respect. What's his name? I don't get no respect. Who? Rodney Dangerhead? Danger what? Field. Field of danger. I don't get no respect. I kind of like his thing there because it kind of brings out, I don't get no respect from nobody. Where's my respect? And people, when they get older, they're always looking for their kids to respect. Where's my respect? I ached and I pained and I groveled, and sometimes that's true. But that's all part of being a parent, isn't it? What do I get out of it? The grave. Well, hey, by the time you get done raising a family and living a little bit on the Social Security, you're ready for the grave. More than ready. I heard someone on the radio came right through it, said amen. But they expect thoughtfulness. Don't anybody ever think of me? Where do I fit into this game? He wants thoughtfulness for the very things he doesn't give. No love, no respect, no time, no nothing. And then again, we hear much about the wife submitting and doing her duty for hubby. Meet hubby with a smile. Meet hubby with a kiss. She should watch her moods. Now, Dad's resting. OK? can tell by the way the newspaper is raising up and down off of his face. Be quiet now. Don't make a sound. Play statue. Be careful to size him up right. How's he feeling? Well, I know if he puts his arm around me and he tastes the Denny Moore stew, then it's all right. He's okay. It's okay, kids. Dad's feeling good tonight. You can smile. Go ahead, laugh. Not too loud. Go ahead. I think a lot of cases, women are the stronger of the two. A lot of times, men are the wimps. Excuse me while I grab my armor. No, I'm not talking about the dominant, the manipulating mate. No, I'm not talking about that. Someone that manipulates. And so a lot of times men are just one great big excuse. He excuses himself from all pressure. He excuses himself from all family ties. All in the name of I'm doing this all for my family. And then again, in their hurry to attain some ambition, should say to gratify a dream of life, men often throw away their honor, their truth, and their generosity. They throw it all out to the winds. And even the politicians of this day and age dare to stand on issues and stand by on issues of the health issues, the water pollution issues, and the nuclear pollution, and the aid to needy moms, and Social Security, and this weight on it. And now I even see now where they tried to pass a thing through where people on SSI, if they got a block of cheese or they got some groceries, that they had to report it, and then they could drop their check down. Well, see, you got a block of cheese? Okay, on the market. We'll give you a good deal on it, 20% off. All right, $3.98 for a block of 5-pound cheese. And you got bread? Okay, bread, a whole bag of bread? Okay, $8. Well, see, now you got to take that off the top of your check. It didn't go through. Dernberger's office called here, and they said, we just wanted you to be aware of what's going on and that this thing is going to be struck down. It was. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? Man, that's about as ridiculous as charging people off when they make when they get tips when they're waiting table and they have to put up with all of these people. How much did you make in tips? And they'd give them $1.50 flat rate. And they have to claim all their tips. Huh? How many know they don't claim all their tips? No. They don't claim them. Should they go to hell for that? No, of course not. It starved to death. Claimed everything. They claimed everything. They starved to death. I mean, would you claim all your tips? No, you wouldn't. At least be honest about it and say, no, I would not claim all my tips. And if they come and ask me, they say, Pastor, are you waiting table part-time? Now we know you're fast. We watch you. You can move out. Wait on a lot of tables. Tell the truth. Do you claim all your tips? Of course not. Who? How much of them would you say, and we're trying to be decent about this, would you say that you cheat the government out of? I don't know about the government, but I don't cheat myself out of anything, okay? There's ways of dealing with things. Well, you're not a liar. It's by telling the truth. It's by not beating around the bush. It's like going to jail for not doing that. Well, that could happen. You get 3 square meals a day, right? Been there? Don't answer that. Take me. She puts her arms up. Arrest me. Take me to jail. Are you hungry, dear? Give her a couple cans of Denny Moore on the food shelf. Even if it's necessary to poison a whole army, get rid of them. We're in a hurry to end this thing if it means wealth. Why do you suppose there's so much action going on? Because people are in a hurry to make money. When the stock market falls and everything looks like it's going under and everything, they'll blame a bombing. A ship got hit over there. That's what did it. I knew they shouldn't have done it. I knowed it. Don't we live in the age of hothouse? The element of natural growth has become foreign to us, and we want to have a hothouse and have things to grow out of season unnaturally. And so nature tolerates us. Our education system is dedicated to hurry. Here, the children are given a series of studies, you know, and they sweep the full circle of all human wisdom, which leaves most people poor readers who can't add and are taught and given everything that this ambitious, let's say, ignorant age pumps to them, and then people can't even make change. They can't even work down a McDonald's. And they've made it through high school. And they say, 78 out of a dollar. 78 out of a dollar. 78 out of a dollar. 78 out of a dollar, huh? It's just like a robot that gets stuck. Isn't that pitiful? Why? We're in such a hurry. We don't care as long as there's a bunch of worker bees over there and the smart ones will just catch on. Oh, it's catching up with us. It's catching up with us, isn't it? Oh, but no one should talk against the great, great, sacred school system. Well, in plain English, a lot of it just plain stinks. Say amen, somebody. And even now, when the teachers say, they can hide behind excuses. And I'm not saying all teachers are bad. That isn't true. But they can hide behind, we're not supposed to shake the child. We're not supposed to in any way reprimand them. And so they call in mom and dad and Uncle Fred and Agnes and the neighbor, and they have a consultation of a whole lot of people like it was the United Nations or something. What a waste of time. Hello, this is so-and-so school. Oh, yeah? Well, let me get on the phone there. Bring the kid to the phone. Yeah, okay. This is mom speaking. Now, you have to come home tonight, right, son? Okay. Now, listen up real careful now, because I'm busy. I'm working right now, and I can't talk too loudly. You get back in that room, and you behave yourself, won't you, darling, sweet dear? Okay? Do you get the message? All right. Now, give me your teacher back again. Okay, now the kid don't know what you're telling the teacher. You don't have to say anything to the teacher. See, but we're all trying to be, do it in a hurry. You haven't got time. Take time. Let's cultivate calmness. Let's cultivate restfulness and poise and sweetness and doing our best and bearing all things as bravely as we possibly can, not worrying about the prosperity of the wicked like the Bible says or the malice of the wicked. Let us not be impatient, chafing at every delay, fretting over every little failure, worrying over results, weakening and weakening under all opposition. Let's just go on with our life with confidence and trust in the Lord. Let us see that cowardly word, hurry, in all its most degenerating phases. Let us see it kills the truth, it kills loyalty, it kills thoroughness. And the Bible says Jesus Christ delights in His, and I'm closing. Jesus Christ delights in His people because they are His own handiwork. Now, if I were to show you out here when I'm working my gardens out here, what happens out here, you wouldn't understand exactly what happens because you're not the husbandman. You're not doing that out there. I understand. I planted all that out there, and I understand all that out there. I haven't had time this year to take real good care of it, but I understand it. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ in you. He's the one that made you. Why not give yourself over to Him? He's the one that fashioned you in your mother's womb. The flowers out there weren't in a hurry. Jesus isn't going to hurry up on you, and don't you tell people to hurry up and be like you either, you judgmentals. Some people grow faster than others. Some bloom quicker. Some are more colorful. Some are tall, and some are short, and some are bushy. But God loves you just the way you are. I had a friend. He was a tailor. He lived to be 98 years old. He's very, very wealthy because he did some pattern cuts and so on like this as an old man, 98 years old. And all of the people that went to see him, all the tailors that, you know, he was in the hospital and they all gathered around. They wanted to hear some words of wisdom on how did you get all of this money. This is years ago. And he was laying there and looking up. Isn't he going to say anything? And finally he just raises up. Well, what's your secret to success in long life? He says, don't forget to tie a knot in your thread. Ooh, take time to tie the knot. First things first. Don't be in such a hurry. Philippians 4 and 4 through 9 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of a good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Take time to smell the roses. Stop hurrying along life's highway. Take a little time. Notice the person next to you. They might even be human. Let God cultivate and plan calmness and reliability and the absence of hurry within you. Don't sacrifice time, I've said, and energy and health and home and happiness for the throne of hurry. Don't let hurry, you listening on the radio, run you to an early grave. Let's cultivate then calmness and restfulness and poise and sweetness and doing your best. Stop chaffing at delay, fretting over failure, and wearying over results, and weakening under opposition. You're always going to be opposed. Let's trust our husbandmen. Let's mend our ways, but before we start, let's tie a knot in our thread. In Jesus' name, take a little bit of time out. Don't worry about everything that opposes you a little bit. And don't get in a hurry to get even. You never get even. The getting even is always getting off balance. And you're never on balance then when you're trying to get even. Okay, that's today's message. Is there anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 312. That was part two, To Hurry. You can listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. So be sure to check those out. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. And up at the top of the homepage, you'll find links to the blog, the podcast, and Twitter. Be sure to join us next Friday for part one of Anger. Have a great week, and God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, may be the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Spiritual
pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
And it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.